Maui Applications in .NET 7 with Maddie Montaquilla.
The Azure DevOps Podcast is a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Each show brings you hard-hitting interviews with industry experts, innovating better methods, and sharing success stories. Listen on to learn how to increase quality, ship quickly, and operate well. And now your host, Jeffrey Palermo.
Before we start, I want to put out a personal message. For those of you who have followed my work and content for some time, you know that I started Clear Measure 10 years ago. We're a software architecture company, and that's the type of consulting we do to help in-house teams be great, to jumpstart them along their way. So all of our work is programming in all of its various forms, and we've done a tremendous amount of DevOps and cloud automation work as well. And we're the North American consulting partner for Octopus Deploy. Now, I haven't done this very often, but I'm putting out a call for anyone who'd like to work with me. We've been running on a backlog of projects for quite a while now, and we need to grow. We need some more .NET software engineers, DevOps engineers who have Octopus Deploy experience and Microsoft Cloud experience, and we're also in need of a few more experienced software architects. And if you followed me for any length of time, you probably understand how I think about software. And if you like the way I think about it, then you'll absolutely love working with me at Clear Measure. We need to hire some people pretty immediately. So if this has piqued your attention, please go ahead and apply online on the website. And if you have any questions, just send me an email at Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, at clear-measure.com. And thank you for indulging me with the interruption. And here's our regularly scheduled episode. Welcome to the show. I'm Jeffrey Palermo, your host for helping you and your teams move fast, deliver quality, and to run your software with confidence in Azure, all while using everything that the .NET ecosystem has to offer. And this podcast is sponsored by Clear Measure, a software architecture company empowering .NET teams to be self-sufficient so they can deliver world-class results through its Clear Measure way for effective software teams. A quick announcement, my architect forums are going strong and signups for the next session are up. If you lead a Microsoft platform software team and are looking to collaborate with peer architect leaders, you can just go ahead and sign up at the link in the show notes. And for those looking for the video podcast Programming with Palermo, you can just search in any of the directories or on YouTube and you'll be able to find it. So, guest today on the show, returning guest is Maddie Montaquilla. And she's a senior product manager on the .NET Maui team and has been working with .NET mobile apps since 2018 when she was working on Xamarin tooling. And when she first joined Microsoft and worked on that Xamarin team in the internship program, she realized the impact that she could have in creating amazing developer tools and frameworks, which inspired her to pursue a role as a program manager. You can connect with her on Twitter and GitHub with the handle Maddie Montaquilla, all one word, and that is included in the show notes. So Maddie, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Cool. I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me back. I'm very excited. It's been a minute.
Yes.
So nice to see that the show is still going strong.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, because we, experts like you talking about, and there's so many things happening in the .NET space. I mean, there's no way we're going to exhaust it all.
Oh yeah. No. Every day there's 10 new things. So.
Right. And we were talking before the show, I mean, we're in preview 3 of .NET 8 that's going to come out in November, but we don't have to talk about that because everything that in Maui you can do with .NET 7. Don't let me get ahead of myself. So let's back up. There are some people new to the show or didn't maybe have missed your previous episode. Just kind of back us up. You're immersed in mobile applications on the .NET platform. But how did you get into that? And how do you decide, you know what? Yeah, I like this mobile stuff. There's lots of other software going out there, but just I really like this and this is why and how'd that progress?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I like to say I lucked into it. I don't know if I said that a couple of years ago. Maybe I've had that realization more recently, but I was a developer, I thought I was going to go work on GPUs and like computer hardware. I wrote C and I was like, C is cool. And then I started writing JavaScript and I was like, oh, this is terrible. I am staunchly anti-JavaScript for those of you who follow me on Twitter. So you probably know that by now. And when I did my internship, I was writing JavaScript code. Mm-hmm. I was like, I hate this. I can't be a developer. Like, I can't do it. Change my major, blow up my life. And then one of my managers at the time was like, you could A, work on any other programming language, B, do something like adjacent to software engineering, like product management. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's that? And so the journey began, and I got to work with the Xamarin team right after they were acquired by Microsoft on a little like intern project that helped you make your UIs by drawing them. And then we would write the XAML for you. And I was like, man, this is actually cool and helpful. I wish I had stuff like this when I started, you know, my coding journey, especially with UI, because I was so back end for so long. Mm-hmm. And so when they had a role open, I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn this .NET thing. I'm going to do it. And I wrote a little UWP app. And I forced all my friends to use UWP for a class project. And I was like, okay, I hate XAML. Got to make this better. And came in with a bunch of ideas when I started on the Xamarin team. And it's been really fun. I mean, it's been super cool to watch them go from like startup to, you know, actual part of .NET. And then now with this whole .NET MAUI journey over the past 3 years, I mean, it's been awesome. It's been really fun.
Yeah, it's come a long way from the Monospace conferences back in the late 2000s and then Xamarin. Ooh, yeah. Well, speaking of, your title is product manager, and there's also program managers at Microsoft. I went back to my alma mater, Texas A&M, and we judged the case competition for all the information system students and software departments. And there was a few students who weren't in love with programming. They said, you know what? I think I'd like to do something in product management instead. And I found myself in a conversation saying, whoa. If you don't like coding, then you're not going to like that either. Tech companies have product management related jobs, but they're all programmers. Tell me about the flavor of, you know, product management jobs in your area of Microsoft. Is that agreeing with my advice to that student or?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the product. So I have a whole talk that I give to college students at my alma mater, Northeastern. Mm-hmm. And I pointed because I'm in the office today. So it's literally right across the river. But yeah, I mean, we used to be called program managers at Microsoft, and then they realized everybody else in the industry called them product managers, and people didn't know what jobs to apply for.
Yeah.
So they changed the role name. They changed nothing else. Like, my responsibilities are the same. But what most product manager roles you can distill down to is just like the intersection of the technology and what's possible, the business and what's going to make you money and keep you in business, and what your customers actually need and want. And just kind of taking those three things and making the Venn diagram and going there. So a lot of times, especially if you work in something like developer tools or an SDK or a framework, like, you are writing code all the time. I write MAUI code. I don't ship things inside of Visual Studio. I tried once and I broke a build with a string change. And I was like, okay, you know what? Still not for me. But I do write MAUI apps. I mean, a lot of the demos I use are either mine or I borrowed from someone and, you know, changed to fit what I want to talk about. A lot of the developers on our team also write MAUI apps on the side, besides actually contributing to the MAUI code base, wherever it is. I have some friends who are product managers in non-software industries, right? Where maybe software is like something that just gets the job done. And what they really do is use the product,
right?
Instead of writing code for it. But I also know people who will contribute, depends on the size of the company. I don't think anybody at Microsoft would want my code, even if I tried to give it to them. They would probably say, no, this is okay, but it's nice that you tried.
But if you didn't like coding at all, you wouldn't want this job, right?
No. I mean, part of the reason I love this job is because I get to work with so many developers.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how coding works and you don't like it, it's going to be hard to work with developers because you can't think the way that everybody around you is thinking. And it's good to be the different opinion, but also you have to be able to relate to people and understand. I mean, I was just in a stand-up earlier and someone was like, well, you know, this isn't working because this and that and this and that. And I caught, like, I'd say 51% of what he was saying I understood, which is really good for a product manager. If I didn't have the coding background, it would be like 10% and it would be really bad. So it's helpful. When I say I didn't like coding, I think mostly I hated sitting still for 40 hours a week. And it's changed a lot. I think maybe had I graduated into the remote world, I would have liked it better. But I couldn't focus in an office. It wasn't for me. I disagreed with everything we were building and I just wanted to make it that better. And nobody gave me the chance to do that. And then they were like, well, if you want to shape the direction of the product, you could do product management.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. It's like somebody who's putting bumpers on Toyota Camrys thinking, you know, we could make a better bumper. It's like, whoa, the assembly factory is not the place for that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. They were like, please stop adding features. This is called scope creep. And I was like, but they're good.
Right. Right. Well, yep. let's get into that. I mean, Xamarin is what it was. Maui is what it's been for a few years. So in .NET 7, there's been so much tooling changes. For people who are kind of watching and maybe they've done some samples and say, you know what? Okay, I was waiting for that tooling glitch or it was kind of hard over here. What is the current state? Which things have been smoothed out? What can people expect right now if they kind of dive in and say, okay, now's the time. Let me get into it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first and foremost, MAUI, for the uninitiated, .NET Multi-Platform App UI is what MAUI stands for. So it is multi-platform, iOS, Android, Mac, and Windows. It is not just a UI framework, even though that made the acronym really nice and Hawaiian. Mm-hmm. It is also some like cross-platform device APIs. You know, we have what used to be called Essentials, now is just baked in. So you can get the accelerometer data and your location, all these things. So inherently cross-platform, which means that you have development stories on both Windows and Mac. Lots of questions about Linux all the time. It's something we would love to do. There are only so many hours in the day.
Yeah.
I hope we get there sooner rather than later. But you know, maybe by the time this episode's posted, there will be something more exciting going on for developers using Linux. Maybe not. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I have no idea. They don't let me make decisions anymore. So, kidding. I'm glad the video's on so I can like gesture with my hands for those of you watching.
For sure.
So yeah, we shipped GA, .NET MAUI shipped GA as part of .NET 6 last May. It's been almost a year. As of right now, it's April. We've come a long way. Part of the reason we shipped GA was to start getting libraries up because a lot of libraries were not ready to publish packages until they knew that MAUI was actually going to ship. Mm-hmm. And so V1 shipped kind of a little prematurely in some cases. But over the past year, I mean, we've made tremendous progress. We have, the installation is so much easier than it was. I've had a couple colleagues now be like, you know, I had to wipe my machine. And I just downloaded Visual Studio and I clicked the box and then I ran my MAUI app with no issues. And I was like, nice. That has been a long time coming for us to get that to work because the dependency chain is so entangled in all these different things.
Yeah.
But, and we've been backporting fixes to .NET 7. You know, we're fixing bugs all the time. We're really working on stability right now. So there hasn't been a lot of new shiny stuff. There has been some stuff in the desktop space, better pointer clicking, right clicks and secondary clicks and all that stuff. Visual Studio has stayed relatively the same, which people are liking because we are not changing and breaking things or moving things in Visual Studio for Mac. So that's been awesome. We've been working a lot on just making understanding your UI and how it's built easier with things like the live preview. Actually, you can click in it now on iOS and Android, and that'll bump you back into where it's like defined in your code, which used to only work for Windows. So it was nice to get that working. Things like data binding failures, that window just tells you like, hey, you spelt this wrong. Mm-hmm. Accessibility checker just came out in Visual Studio. So now you can run that on your MAUI app and it'll tell you if there are controls that are missing correct naming or semantic properties for screen readers, which is really helpful. It's like literally one click to make your app more accessible.
Because Windows works really well with screen readers. So it kind of sucks if there's one application that doesn't.
Yep. The screen readers on iOS and Android have come a long way too, like their native ones. So there's a demo somewhere on the internet with Rachel King on our team where she just literally like file new MAUI app, runs it and shows how the screen reader interacts with everything and then adds the elements that she wants to add, shows how to add the correct properties for it to make sure the screen reader is doing the right thing and then runs it like right on her phone. And I was like, wow, that's easy.
As an aside, some people are thinking, okay, I get it. Some people need screen readers, but I can see and I can hear and I have like, you know, 9 or 10 fingers. I'm okay on typing. I don't need that stuff. But the same underlying capabilities that make screen readers work enables all of the testing tools because you have those APIs where you can have your testing click a button, type something in a text box, actually pull up the screen. So every developer wants that stuff to work well.
Yes. I heard something, I think it must have been one of Rachel's blogs, actually, but there's something about like situational disability. And so the example is like, you know, physical, you might not have an arm or your arm might be in a sling or you might be carrying a child with one arm.
Yes.
Like that all makes you a one-handed user.
That's right.
whether like some is, so the one that I always think of is like, you go to the eye doctor and get the drops and then you can't see anything. And you're like, I can't read my text messages. Like, so that's a great time to test the screen reader out on your apps, because you will have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So back to you install it, and do we still have to have a Mac? I'm just asking the obvious questions for, you know, what is the getting started experience? Let's take iPhone, because everybody wants to write an iPhone app when they get in. So what's the flow? What do you have to do, you know, in April of 2023?
Yeah, good question. So the cool thing that we have now is you don't actually need a Mac if you're a Windows developer.
Awesome.
At least for debugging and developing, you will always need a Mac somewhere, whether it is on your desk or on someone else's desk or in a cloud, to actually sign and package your app for the Apple App Store.
To deliver it to someone else. But you can run it and all that. Okay, great.
Yep. You can just plug your phone in over USB. I did it the other day, actually. And then debug it straight into your phone. There are some things that won't work. It is like intentionally a limited experience, right? Because we don't have the Mac. Mm-hmm. So we don't have Xcode to build against. The one that I hear is the most annoying is apparently XC framework doesn't work with it. So there are limitations. Some of those limitations we're able to address, some we aren't. But for most people, you know, especially getting started, you create a new app, you make the UI look good, you hook it up to your endpoint, you make things work, and then you debug it onto your phone. And when you unplug your phone from the computer, it stays on your phone so you can go show it to your friends.
Nice.
Like, all the important things are covered. And a lot of folks have gotten really, really far into their app development without needing the Mac at all, which is really good. So
now, MacInTheCloud.com and some other ones have Mac Mini hosting and whatnot, but is there any kind of integration or an Azure service or any thinking around, should we either provide that for developers or should we partner with somebody so we have somebody good to recommend? What's the thinking around that?
Yeah, we have been thinking about this a lot, kind of from the all testing and building and CI/CD framework, right? Like, there are some really amazing third parties. I think BrowserStack is one of them that like just hosts every kind of device you could ever imagine. And so we would love to do something more formal with them. A lot of that is out of our hands as the Maui team, you know, it happens more on the Azure side and the DevOps side and all those things. But we have a lot of ideas. And I don't know. Every once in a while in a meeting, I shout, can someone put a Mac in Azure for me? And everyone's like, not right now. Leave me alone. And I'm like, okay. But I'm trying for it.
Can someone figure out a shim so that we can make a Mac VM?
Right? Oh, my goodness.
Okay. So iPhone, until you publish, you don't need it. And then Android, the emulators have been kind of the first ones that went stable. Is that still the case?
Many thanks to our podcast sponsor, Clear Measure. Clear Measure is a software architecture company that empowers clients' development teams to be self-sufficient, moving fast, delivering quality, and running their systems with confidence. Whether starting a new project or developing new technologies or techniques, Clear Measure sets up your team to deliver world-class results. Learn more at www.clearmeasure.com. Clear Measure, empowering software delivery. Clear Measure is also happy to be a sponsor of the video podcast, Programming with Palermo. Watch, learn, and program alongside Chief Architect Jeffrey Palermo. Videos are added weekly and available on syndicated locations supporting video podcast or by visiting palermo.network. Tune in today.
Yep, and the emulators work as they've always worked, which is totally fine, a little bit slow. That is the Android emulator story. You can also do, they've gotten a lot better, both from Google side and from our side. But you can also go straight to the device, as same with the iPhone. And you can now use the Windows subsystem for Android, which is actually, Windows has the functionality the same way that they have the Linux subsystem to build natively on the Windows machine, run the Android app as if it was a Windows app, but it's just an Android app. So that opens up a lot of possibilities, especially on ARM, where Google does not provide emulators for Windows ARM devices. Mm-hmm. You can use Windows subsystem there, and it's super fast. The only limitation of this one, of course, is it doesn't have Google Play Store APIs. So that can be difficult. But again, for developing, right, for just like getting your app to work and building out your feature set, this is all you really need. So you don't have to worry about the final bits until the final bits.
Right. Well, speaking of delivering, there's quite a bit of history. I mean, years ago, Hockey App was acquired, and then it was App Center. What is the current chain. I mean, for web applications and backend service workers, it's pretty mature, Azure pipelines. But for MAUI, what is the current DevOps story? You know, for going from a developer workstation all the way through testing and packaging, and then finally, you know, delivering it to an app store.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We've been having a ton of conversations about this too, because as MAUI has gone from like, it shipped to, oh my gosh, people are releasing apps with it, we've started to have to tackle these problems a lot more. Well, first of all, Azure Pipelines, GitHub Actions both work great with MAUI. We've actually been working on like kind of a series of documentation and blogs and things. And even we're exploring maybe adding like a right-click add GitHub action to your template. Let me know if people would be interested in that. I don't know if that's reasonable, but we have a proof of concept. We're not going to do anything with it until someone tells us this is a good idea.
Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of things there, just getting your pipeline set up. With testing, the nice thing about being part of .NET, and so MAUI, Xamarin, for those of you who were around, you know, Xamarin was part of Mono, which was like a slightly different version of .NET. If these words don't mean anything to you, that's great. Don't try to learn about it. It is very confusing and not worth it. All you have to know is that MAUI is part of the .NET runtime,
history.
Part of the .NET-based class library. Yep. And so we can use the same types of tests, test runners, unit tests, all of those things. There are a whole variety of ways to write tests for actually with app running. Appium is really popular. We also have Xamarin UI test. The Xamarin UI test stuff doesn't work on Mac, so we've seen a lot of people go into Appium, but we're exploring also what we can do to kind of innovate in that space a little bit. There's a whole bunch of things that are on the planning roadmap for testing. When it comes to actually like distributing, a lot of people still use App Center Distribute. It's pretty nice. I like it. It's very easy. But App Center Distribute was built before Google Play had beta and Apple had Test Flight.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've seen now is people just leverage those things because they're a little bit easier. They don't require the kind of like corporate sign-in stuff on the device side.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, you can get your employees to sign up or whatever. If it's an internal thing or if it's a public thing, it's just part of the store. So we've seen a lot of people using that, but Distribute's also great. You can also just, you know, build your app package and sign it and stick it on a website somewhere and say, download it here. And those are all options. And then for monitoring, testing, analytics, once it's actually out there, App Center and that whole SDK is really solid. We also have been seeing a lot of people use App Insights straight up because you can put it right alongside your backend. And so you have your backend analytics and your mobile app analytics in the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So that's been really helpful. There's also a bunch of third parties that are working on and have shipped like MAUI analytic things. I think Sentry is one we talk about a lot. They did a really nice job with just like monitoring for your MAUI apps. So we've been really lucky that the community has kind of built a lot of things in those spaces. So that gets you through that. You know, you build it, GitHub Actions, your Azure Pipeline, which has a free tier, I learned. As of right now, Azure Pipelines does have a free tier, which is cool. You run your test, whether it's NUnit and unit testing, or if you want to get fancy and write UI tests, there's various ways to do that. You distribute it through the stores, and then you figure out why it's crashing, and you fix it.
Right. Now, what is within the MAUI team? Is there a favorite deployed test framework that actually, you know, taps on controls and maybe types in boxes? Do you know what the team prefers to use at the moment?
Oh, it is contentious. So we just went through planning for the next 6 months, and we have a V team of people who are going to build out UI tests for MAUI itself using a variety of different technologies and then pick one and make it work right. Okay. So this will be exciting. This is something we've been wanting to do for a while, but we actually now are like, nope, it's written down. We presented it in the slide somewhere. Appium is what most people go to because it works the best for iOS right now, because they've packaged all of the magic that needs to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
But other ones are better for Android. We have a lot of interest in Playwright, which is Microsoft's. It's open source. Microsoft contributes a lot to it, but Microsoft has the Playwright test runner.
Mm-hmm.
We would love to see something like Playwright working on device. Right now, their device stuff is super experimental and limited. So there's some opportunity there. But I would say Appium is probably the most popular one, but it's kind of begrudgingly. It's like Appium, not like Appium. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Now, I know this is kind of crossing over into some other teams, but you know, the ASP.NET team has talked about, you know, the Blazor MAUI projects. And so there's lots of developers out there said, okay, I never did really get good at WPF and Xamarin. XAML then. And so MAUI's using XAML, but I did get really good at web and now I'm really good at Blazor. Is this a real thing? What am I giving up? Do you know what's the story there?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So Blazor hybrid, as we call it, which is the idea that you can shove either an entire Blazor app or just individual Blazor components inside of your MAUI app and run it locally. It has taken off. I mean, people are using it left and right. We've seen people be like, yeah, I took my Blazor app and I shipped it to the store in 2 days. And we're like, what? It's been really great. And with the whole Blazor, oh my gosh, I get it wrong every time. It's either Blazor Unified or Blazor United.
United. Or you're right.
United.
Yeah. United. That's right.
You'd think I talk to Steve and Dan all the time, but no, I can never remember. But that whole thing, it's going to get even better. We've also been exploring what we call like the hybrid web view in general. So for those of you who are more React or Angular focused, being able to do the same thing you're doing now with Blazor inside of MAUI would be super helpful. Because, you know, like I said, or in my intro, and like you said, some people just don't get XAML, which was part of the reason I wanted to work on XAML tooling so bad. One of the PMs on our team is actually former like head of .NET marketing, Beth Massey, who is, as she says, allergic to XAML. Yeah. And so she's been really driving the Blazor hybrid stuff from our side. And some of the engineers on our tooling team that have worked on XAML tooling forever went and tried out Blazor hybrid and were like, wow, this is pretty nice. Yeah. Like, I kind of get it. I think Blazor syntax is confusing, but that's because my brain is very compartmentalized. So I just can't win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if your whole career has been in Windows applications or native applications, and you literally just haven't really had to get into the HTML world. Of course, all these web developers saying, what do you mean you don't know HTML? Everybody knows HTML. But literally, if you had just not worked on that side, which there's a lot of developers there, then there's a lot of concepts going on in the web world. It's not like that's simple anymore either.
No, it's overwhelming.
Just what
my
you've learned.
My preferred way lately is, and we've been seeing more people doing this as well, is just using C# for markup, which is in the community toolkit. And just, I've been writing occasionally when I know exactly what I need my page to look like and it doesn't need to be super complicated and I don't want to deal with XAML, I will just use C# for markup and write the whole page in C# and then just pop it in my app.
So that was a thing with WinForms way back in 2005. Mm-hmm. Because the designer of WinForms would get buggy in complex scenarios and it generated stuff. And it's like, okay, well, I can't trust the so you'd have to go into C# anyway. And when you chop up the UI into all different kinds of components and then they're having to event to each other, then you just kind of push the designer aside in WinForms. So it worked, everything's C#. I don't have to jump across these boundaries of what the designer's looking like and versus I know what the code is doing. So that's interesting to hear you say that. So how much in that scenario are there XAML files at all, or is it just C# controls?
In my case, it is a Frankenstein mishmash of everything usually, because I'll be like, I'll just try doing it this way for this page. Mm-hmm. And then it spirals out of control. In production apps, it's a good question. I would have to look at some. I think most people are still mostly XAML, but we've seen some folks go C# from the beginning and have absolutely no XAML files at all. So it's all possible. Choose your own adventure, I'd say. Mm-hmm. In my case, it's a haphazard basket of things that I've decided to do.
Yeah.
So,
all right, I'm going to attempt possibly a dangerous question for somebody in your role, but all the listeners want to know, you got all these component vendors and some of them are going faster than others on the MAUI space. Do you have any idea the maturity level of, you know, the different vendors, or if you're going to reach for controls right now, is everything that they need built in, or is, you know, do you know that the status of DevExpress, Infragistics, SyncFusion, Grape City?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Good question. Let's see. I think the way that I look at our control vendors is more like they specialize in certain things, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think it really depends on what you need to see what the maturity is. You know, like UX Divers Growlkit, like everything they build is just like absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. They might not have the most controls, but everything's like, you know, gorgeous, right? Mm-hmm. Telerik is really good with desktop stuff. Like, we always send people to Progress for like data grids. SyncFusion has really good data grids too. DevExpress, they're all great,
but Maui's so new. Like you said, it was released a year ago. So naturally, somebody's going to have things first.
Yeah. So it really just depends on the customer and also like where they're located sometimes, what their app actually looks like. Sometimes it lends itself better to others. A lot of the control toolkits now have like a community or a free or a trial tier, which is really helpful because you can then just plug them in and see which one works best for you. Mm-hmm. Even though the controls are often called the same things, they're all really different. So you have to play around with it. Fortunately, most if not all of the control vendors that, you know, we keep in touch with are really on top of things with Maui. Some of them were shipping like the day that we shipped, which we were great. Yes. Awesome. It's been hard to gauge recently with the economic situation, but you know, I'm hoping that the momentum keeps up, especially with .NET 8, because that will be a really good time too for everyone to revamp their packages.
Right. .NET 8 again is the three-year support window, which is considered long-term.
Yep. LTS. Yep.
Yeah. Somewhere it went from 10-year support to 3-year support for long term. But
yeah,
I mean, it's also good and stable now. Okay. So for people who have been using Maui already and have already shipped various applications with the latest version, how much code reuse should they be expecting? And if they use some of the newer ones where they had to kind of split things out more, is it 80-20? Is it 99-1? On code reuse versus iOS specific files, Android specific files, things like that.
Good, really good. Again, I hate to say it depends on the app because it always depends on the app.
Well, let's just take the To-Do app or the Hello World app where it's like, okay, it spins up.
I mean, with Maui, it's 99%, right? Like the only unique files. And one of the things we did with Maui that's a big change from what we did with Xamarin was we made everything in one single project. So there are folders that you can put Android-specific code in, but it's not like a whole separate project you have to have a dependency or a reference to. So that's made it really clean. And the only files that are in there, for the most part, are like that main application, main activity file that just tells the app to launch. You don't even have to initialize packages in there anymore. You can do it in the Maui program file. Mm-hmm. So really cleaned that up. Where people do want to get platform specific, if we don't support something with a cross-platform like device API, you can just put a file in that folder. You don't have to create a new project or anything. You can also now use preprocessor, like compiler directives, and just if def, if Android, if iOS, and keep that all in the same file. So for one or two line things, that's been really helpful. So even though it's technically different code, it's still in the same file. So it's kind of the same. And then with UI things, we've made it really easy to just go in and overwrite certain like properties of a renderer. We call them handlers now. So the thing that tells when you write text box or what do you call it? Label in Maui, the thing that tells it under the hood that this is what this is on Android, iOS, and Windows. You can now kind of just extend those, prepend or append or whatever, instead of having to create your whole other own personal version of label with the one property you need. So we made it much easier. I like to believe that everybody is just like 100% cross-platform all the time. I'm sure that's not the reality, but it's a lot more. With every release, it will continue to be a lot more too.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Now, I'm probably out of date on this, but I never updated it in my own brain. For caching or keeping data in your mobile app, is there a version of SQL Server Lite or whatnot that is supported now, where maybe the same entity framework code for reading from tables on the server can be used on the client, just maybe cache a few records? Or what data stores are typical now with Maui, just to kind of cache and keep some information around instead of going back to a server every time?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I know we have SQLite stuff. I don't know the specifics of it. I also know that Essentials or the like cross-platform device stuff, we have local storage and there's secure storage and there's not secure storage and there's kind of like cache throwaway stuff versus permanent. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple different options built in. There are also a ton of libraries that help with this, especially when you think about like background tasks and stuff. Shiny is a really good one by Alan Ritchie. A lot of people use that.
I love these names.
There are a bunch of different... Yeah, I know, right? Shiny. It's great. Yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff. I know that people are doing it. I couldn't tell you exactly how. I like that idea of using the same core that I'd use for EF in my Maui app, because really that should just work. But I don't know that it does, so I have to check.
Yeah, I hadn't personally seen a sample, but again, I can't keep up with everything, so I just didn't know
if it was
there. Yeah, I'm always looking at how do I write less code? Well, I already know how to read and write from tables of this structure. Can I put part of my schema locally as a cache? So
probably.
I know, you should
be able to.
Yeah, the Blazor WebAssembly team got that working with SQLite so that in Blazor apps it could run. So that's why I was. But as we kind of at our time here, is there anything else that I didn't ask that people, whether they're, you know, need to upgrade to the latest version of MAUI or they haven't tried it out yet, but what should they know?
If you're sitting on Xamarin right now, if you're a Xamarin developer and you want to get your app to MAUI, but you don't know where to start, please reach out either via the Twitter handle or in the show notes or Maddie, M-A-D-D-Y at Microsoft.com. We're working with customers like around the clock, basically, to understand what migrations need to happen, what's blocking people and unblocking those things. We talked to a customer earlier that I can't share the name of the company, but they have 15 like internal used by almost all 60,000 of their employees apps that were Xamarin Forms. And in a month, they've migrated over half of them to MAUI.
Nice.
So we're doing really, it's getting better. Now is the time to evaluate it. I know it's about to be the summer, so everyone's ready to take off for 3 months and not talk about it, which is fine, but we'd love you to hit the ground running, especially when .NET 8 ships. So reach out. There's more and more tooling available for it, too, to make it easier on you. So that's the only thing I feel like I have to say as a PM. You know, please reach out. And of course, any feedback, we're always listening. Our big push for .NET 8 is not features. It's not shiny new things. It is quality and bug fixes and performance. And so I'm really hoping that when that release lands, people will see a lot of the work that we've been doing over the past couple months and the next few months hit. But that's it. We're excited. It's a good time to be a .NET developer for sure. So keep it up.
Yeah, you know, everyone's been saying that for the last 5 years. It's a great time to be a .NET developer and it just keeps on getting better. But
I know.
I mean, just because I'm old, there was a time probably around the late 2000s where when there were people converting to the JavaScript frameworks that you and I prefer not to use. And and now it's like, no, it's great to be a .NET developer.
Yeah.
So, all right. Cool awesome. Time. Well, Maddie, thanks so much for coming back to the show, giving us the update on MAUI. It's exciting. Lots of things going on. Appreciate you sharing.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. And we have a couple other PMs on the team who I'm sure will talk Blazor Hybrid or various other things with you in the future. So let me know.
All right. Sounds great. And until next time, keep shipping.
You've been listening to the Azure DevOps Podcast, a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Go to www.azuredevops.show for show notes and other episodes. On behalf of your host, Jeffrey Palermo, and our sponsors, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.